So what do we have here? We have the Apostle John. And John is a very interesting character. Why? Because he's not just an apostle, but he's also one of Jesus' best friends. Okay? So he was the beloved disciple. He was also the same author of the Gospel of John. Okay, so this man, John, really knows Jesus. He knows what Jesus likes. He knows what Jesus does not like. He knows him very well. He was his best friend. And at the same time, John is a person who really loves the church in Ephesus. And why he wrote this epistle was because the people in Ephesus, they were struggling with their faith. What was the problem there? Is that they weren't sure if they were saved. Do you have doubts about your own faith? John is going to help us to do this self-examination in this epistle. And so he's going to do these three things. He's going to, in the whole epistle, I'm giving you the context of this epistle. He's going to do this self-examination that you have to do, that the readers of 1 John have to do, which is first, the first examination is on your behavior. Second examination is on your love. And third examination is on your doctrine. Okay? So, but in this particular passage, we're going to spend more time on the examination of the things that you love. Okay? So, that was a little context for this sermon. So, John has this particular love for the church in Ephesus, which in modern day would be Turkey. Okay? So, the church is struggling about their faith. Do we really love God? Am I really saved? Does God really love the world? You know, some questions that are just floating in the air. Or another question as a church that we may be asking is, how do we engage the world? Okay? So, you know, as I was learning English over 23 years ago, you know, there are some words that have more than one meaning. I mean, this is in every language, but there are some words that are very interesting because they can mean many things and that can actually get you confused. I'll give you an example. So, for example, I'm driving my car with my wife, you know, and my wife holds the GPS. You know, and I asked my wife, hey, left turn, right? Right. Wait. Okay, right or left? Left. Right? Right. So, right can mean direction or can mean you're correct. Right? Right. Okay. Second example. You know, it's New Year's, you know, 2 days ago, and we have all have resolutions. New Year's resolution. Each of us have a resolution for this year. And I tell my wife, hey, Mary Jo, guess what? My resolution is going to be to eat less sugar foods, sugary foods. She says, right. You see that meaning? When we approach this text, you will see something very interesting with the word world. Like I said earlier, John, the one who wrote the Epistle of John, also wrote the Gospel of John. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And now, as we're going to read, it seems that he's contradicting himself. Let's read together God's word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the things that you do for us. Thank you that we have your word that challenges us in so many ways, Lord. And I pray that this particular passage will be a blessing to me and to my brothers and sisters here at Meadowview. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so is there a contradiction? We have to understand the whole context of Scripture in order to understand this passage. Let me repeat that again. We have to understand the whole context of Scripture, the whole story of redemption, in order to understand this passage. Maybe the New Year's resolution will be understanding God better. Do you as an individual understand the heart of God? Or maybe not. Or maybe, yes, but not. You have not grasped really the true heart of God. Does God really love the world? That's the question that we need to ask. And if He does, how are we supposed to engage the world as believers? So, we have to go back to Genesis, okay, in order to answer that question. Even before Genesis 1, creation, we have God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. And in theological terms, we have the covenant of redemption, in which God the Son agrees to come to this world to save the sinners. And this relationship of the Trinity, they work in harmony, in love. And we have this God, this Trinitarian God that creates the world. Even you see that in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, when he says, "Let us create man." Let us create man. The Trinitarian work is already there. And so we have this God who makes the world. And the question is, why He makes the world? Does He really need us? Did God make the world because He needs us? Does He need us or not? He doesn't need us, okay? He does not need us. But because He's a loving God, a loving host. Remember, I preached, before this sermon, I preached last year, my last sermon of last year was from Psalm 23, in which you see that at the end of Psalm 23, He prepares a banquet, a feast for His people. So you see God as a host, as a loving host. And here's the problem. Not just with the people in Ephesus, but also with the church in America and with the church in the world. We don't understand God. We don't understand the heart of God. We either think that God is just a judge, ready to drop the hammer on us, like an old grumpy man, ready to punish people for not listening. And we live in fear of God, in an unhealthy fear. And when we think that way, we're going to think that we are better than the world because, oh, we know how to behave. The world doesn't. So we will not invite the world to the church because God doesn't tolerate sin, which is true. And, you know, we don't want to infect this church with sin. So let's just keep the good people inside. And yes, we will serve the world, but, you know, we'll have our own little tribe. Because we think that God is just a judge. Or on the other hand, we think that God is just a miracle worker, a healer. That we can just pray to God whenever there is a need for healing. And yes, please, by all means, pray to God when there is sickness in your home. Because He's the best doctor. But when we have this framework of God only as a healer, we miss out so many things about God. So we have God as a judge or God as a healer. But the Bible says, God is so much more than that. He is your loving Father and your loving host. And so I want to propose to you that God is a loving host. Therefore, if God is a loving host, we must seek, point number one, we must seek to fill ourselves with the love of God. In other words, loving the world as the Father loves. Okay? We're answering this apparent contradiction of, does God really love the world? Are we supposed to love the world or hate the world? John is explaining now. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. So John is not telling you reject the world. Excuse me? What do you mean not? Are we supposed to reject the world? I will explain this. The word Greek, the Greek word for world is cosmos. Okay? And so John uses the word cosmos in two ways. First way is in the material cosmos, people, creation. That you see that in John 3:16. The material world. And you are part of this world. Animals, creation, human beings, cultures, countries, things that you can touch, foods, drinks. At the same time, he also explains here the world as a system in the spiritual way. So we have the cosmos as a material entity and then the cosmos as a spiritual entity. And that's what John is talking about here. So, we worship a loving host who is inviting this creation into this Trinitarian love. Don't miss that. God cares about the world. And I hope you do too. If He didn't care about the world, none of us would have been saved by the grace of God. Because you are part of the world. You live in this world. So point number one, we must seek to fill ourselves with the love of God. Okay, so John is not contradicting himself. The word cosmos can mean different things, as I explained in the first illustration as the word right. So, let's look at verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. What does Romans 1, verse 24 and 25 says? It says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So, Paul in Romans 1 is saying, God made creation. The problem is that we distorted the order of creation. Now, we're worshiping the creatures instead of the Creator. Okay? When, in my first point, I said, let's fill out ourselves with the love of God. I'm saying we must love God's creation because God loves creation. But not just that. I'm not saying just show kindness to people in society. Yeah, we all called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know that. Mark 12. That's a given. Remember what I said earlier. These three examinations, self-examination. The first examination of behavior, the self-examination of love. If you call yourself a Christian, you must love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, which means that you must love creation. But it's not just about showing kindness to creation. But we have work to do. Because in God's business, He is in the working, in the process of restoring all things. And you are invited in this Trinitarian love, not just to feel good about yourself, but to also work for the restoration of this society and this world. God has a special place for the orphans, in His heart for the orphans, the widows, and the aliens. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, "You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner, or the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this." Man, those are strong words. Do justice. The sojourner, the fatherless, and the widows. Are you doing that as an individual? As a church, are we doing that? No, they're not like us. They're a different kind of people. They can take care of themselves. We're the church of Christ, and so we're just supposed to take care of one another who are members. Excuse me? What does the Bible teach us? Even from the Old Testament. We are to be a part of this society. To live out your faith. John is not contradicting himself. We must, again, let me repeat that first point again. We must seek to fill ourselves with the love of God. And this love of God is a love that shows kindness to the world. You see, R.C. Sproul, one of the greatest theologians of our century, says there's three types of love, biblical love. There is the benevolence love. There's the love that God shows for the creation, for the things that you see. Okay, and then you have the beneficiary love, meaning that God benefits the creation. He displays His love even to the unjust. Rain pours on the just and on the unjust. And then there's this type of love, the third one, the compliancy love. Not the compliancy in the negative meaning, but in the redeeming meaning. Meaning that we have this filial love, that God has this filial love for the redemptive, for the redeemed. For those who are in Christ Jesus. That particular special love. Okay? So, God cares about creation. He's in the process of restoring things. And He's inviting you to be a part of this process by going to the world. By speaking truth in love to those who are lost. We're called to evangelize. We're not called to hide in this building. Point number two. We must not seek to fill ourselves with a love for the world. Let me repeat that again. We must not, negative, we must not seek to fill ourselves with the love of the world. Okay, so John says, for God so loved the world, okay? So we are called to show the love of the Father to the world. And the love of the Father to the world is what? This redeeming process of making things new. And you're invited to be a part of this process as agents of grace and compassion and truth. But now in point two is that we must not seek to fill ourselves with the love for the world. That love apart from God. Christians, Tim Keller says this, Christians must be in the world and love the world, but not be worldly. Let me say that again. Christians must be in the world and love the world, but not be worldly. Man, that's hard. And that's when the tension comes. Okay? So, let's read verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the prying possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Okay, so what do we have here? John now is telling us three things. The desires for what? Of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions. The Greek word for desire is epithome. Epithome, which means over desire. We all have desires. Okay, we're human beings. We all have desires. But when you see in the Greek the word epithome, that means over desires. This word could be in a positive way or in a negative way. This is the same word that Jesus used in Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, when he was about to eat this final meal with the disciples. He used the word epithome, which means I have this great desire, this strong desire to share this meal with you. But now, when in this case, we see the same word epithome in verse 16, the desires of the flesh is an over desire. That now is the negative meaning for the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of possessions. Let me give you an illustration. I have a friend who is a senior pastor of a PCA church. And, you know, he's a hard-working person. He went to seminary. He graduated. He started doing youth ministry. And then he was offered another call to be an assistant pastor. And eventually he became a senior pastor in the PCA. So now he's doing great, right? Everybody loves him. He's a good preacher. But then something happens. There is a scandal in the church. He found out, the church didn't know about this. He found out from a third party that one of his elders was having an adulterous relationship. He was having an affair. And this elder was very well known in the community. And this elder was the one who, you know, he expressed himself. He has a strong opinion. He has a strong voice in the session. He basically is the one who does this or does that. Okay, when it comes to that cannot be the case. But unfortunately, we live in a broken world, and that happened in this particular church. And so my friend, the senior pastor, had to bring this up to the rest of the session. The question that he had to struggle with was, shall I just keep my mouth quiet? Or actually go and do what is right? of calling him out, to step out and to repent. You see, when we as Christians put all of our satisfaction and joy and security in our jobs, and we don't want anything to alter this peaceful environment, we want to avoid confrontation. We want peace. We want peace. And we're going to sacrifice truth and repentance and the gospel for the sake of peace. So when John says here, the desires of the flesh, he's not just talking about sexual desires. He's talking about the love for comfort, the love for security, and the joy that you can find only in this world, according to the world. So, what is God calling me to do in this particular situation? To love the world or to hate the world? We must hate the world. And the word world here, cosmos, I'm talking about in now in the spiritual meaning. This mentality, this system that tells you that you need this world, the security of this world, rather than the security from Scripture, offering Scripture. What do you choose? Let's talk about money. What do you do with your money? See, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, there is a mention of the eyes, okay? The eyes is basically like a window. In the ancient times, the eyes were like windows to your soul. And when you see money, when you see the paycheck that you get at the end of the month, what do you do with it? Well, I put it in the bank or savings, or, you know, I have a budget, and, you know. Okay, but do you go to the other extent of giving your money away to the church or for the advancement of God's kingdom? This is a good test too, is to know, is that, okay, do I have a hard time giving away money because I don't have control over it? Or do you always want to have control over your own money? You see, the world tells you, you need to have control over your money. You need to invest. And I'm not saying investing is wrong. But when that's the over-desire, the epitome of your heart, that's problematic. That's you loving the world and the system of the world. Paul tells us in the New Testament, be generous. Be generous. Because at the end of the day, this is not your money. Be generous. Then he says at the end of verse 16, the pride in possessions. Okay? So, when it comes to the pride in possessions, in the love for the world, he's not basically saying just money, as I mentioned earlier, but now also he's saying all the things that you have accomplished in life. Maybe you have a PhD. Maybe you're well known in this community for the things you have done in your work, with honest work, and that's great. But then when your job is your main identity, there is a problem. Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I have sat down with the best teachers of the Torah. I am a Jew and I'm a Roman citizen. I have all these accomplishments, but all this is rubbish. All this is trash compared to what I have in Christ Jesus. You see, the church is struggling here. This church in Ephesus. And this is a love test. What do you love? John is asking you, what do you love? Why did Jesus ask the disciples, do you love me? Do you love the Lord? Point number two, remember, we must not seek to fill ourselves with a love for the world. This spiritual mentality of gain and satisfaction and security in this world. When it comes to drinks and food, you know that they are taking over your life whenever you don't have a drink or food and you're in a bad mood. That tells you that you're over-dependent over these things. You have this over-desire for these worldly things. God made food, God made drinks, God made everything. But when you have the epitome on these things, these over-desires, that's problematic. When you have these over-desires on security, I must have this weapon in order to feel safe. Because if I don't have this, I will not feel saved. Do we think like that? I mean, God made weapons. Right? He created them. He gave the brains for the science and the engineers to create weapons and things like that. But let me ask you this. If you don't have this weapon, will you still feel saved? Careful, Pastor. Careful with there. Don't go there. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, do not take everything with you when you go to the world. My grace is enough. I'm not calling you to be careless. That's not the point of this sermon. But the point of this sermon is that epitome, your over desires over things of this world. And we're not called to show that. These over desires over worldly things. But we're called to show the love of the Father to the world. As a conclusion, we face 2022. Some of us with joy because things went well last year and we look forward to even a better year financially or academically or whatever. Or maybe you are facing entering this year 2022 with fear. Pastor, are you seeing what's going on in the world? Oh yeah, I know what's going on in the world. And that's not new. We live in a broken world. But guess what? You're not called to escape the world. In the 20th century, the church started this mentality of escaping the world. Forget about this social work, forget about the widows, and that's nice rhetoric, and that's nice language, be nice to the alien, to the widow, and to the poor. That's great, but that's why we have pastors and elders and deacons. But, I'm happy and content of just coming to church on Sundays. Just let me hear a good sermon, and let me feel good about myself after I do communion. And then we go on with our lives. God is not calling you to do that. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 7 says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find yourself welfare. God is not asking us, brothers and sisters, to escape the city, but to be in the city and seek its welfare. As Tim Keller says, we must love the world, but not be worldly. That's the tension. May God help us to do that. Let's reject the worldly mentality of finding satisfaction, joy, and security in the world, in the things of the world. Because this world is passing away, verse 17 says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And what is the will of God, brothers and sisters? That you love the Father with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. When you love God, you're going to obey His voice. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And that's the will of God. That you surrender to Jesus. That you give your life to Jesus. That you put away your anger and enmity with the world and give it to Jesus. And that you go into the world, not with an angry heart, not with an angry face, but show compassion and speak truth to them in love. We're called to call people to repentance, not to play games. Yes, do social work, but your main call is mainly to call people to repentance and to present the gospel with your own life as a living testimony. Maybe that can be a resolution for 2022. Help us, Lord, to do that. And I will finish with this. John 17, verse 15 says, Jesus Himself says this, when He prays to God the Father, as He's getting ready to leave this earth. He says, John 17, 15, He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You see, Jesus knows, these people, us, the disciples, have work to do. Father, don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. Protect them from this worldly system that tells you, you can find security in this. That you can find satisfaction in this. That you can find joy in this. Let's be in the world, but let's not be worldly. Jesus loves you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have this special love, this compliancy love from the Father to His redeemed people, to those who are in Christ Jesus, because you have been adopted into His family. You are part of this Trinitarian relationship. God is a loving host inviting us to be part of this Trinitarian relationship, to be part of this redeeming process of the world. We're blessed by being part of this. Let's pray.